This morning, as we meet together and talking about the end times, I want to discuss today the judgment seat of Christ. This can be looked at in a couple different ways. I want to make it clear that this is a time for born-again believers, those that were raptured out, taken to heaven, and sons of God, children of God. It's not the judgment of the lost. That comes at another time. It's at a place called the Great White Throne Judgment Seat. But this is called the Judgment Seat of Christ. And I want to read for you in Romans chapter 14 and verse 10. Why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, I want to remind you that the Bible was written to believers. This is not talking about the human race. This is talking about the children of God, people that are saved. It's a letter written to the Christians that were in Rome. So this is talking about we, those that are saved. Again, if I look over in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." There is going to be a time that we'll have to face God. We stand before him and our life and our works that we have lived and the things we have done will come before us. It'll come before God. And we're going to be judged according to all those matters. And I want to explain about this. This is not a time. Well, let me just go on with this. The judgment seat, that phrase, those words, are translated from the Greek word bema, meaning a raised platform or seat. Dr. Lehman Strauss writes this: "In large Olympic arenas, there was an elevated seat on which the judge of the contest sat. After the contests were over, the successful competitors would assemble before the bema to receive their rewards or crowns. The bema was not a judicial bench where someone was condemned. It was a reward seat. Likewise, the judgment seat of Christ is not a judicial bench. The Christian life is a race, and a divine umpire is watching every contestant. And after they run their course, he will gather every member before the bema for the purpose of examining each one and giving the proper reward to each." So, with our understanding, knowing what the judgment seat is, that means that every born-again believer, many that are listening on the radio even today, those that are driving to their church, our church, this morning, when our time comes, or after the rapture, we'll all approach or be at the judgment seat of Christ. This takes place after born-again believers, after the rapture, what we've studied over the past several weeks, are taken from the earth, and then this event will happen. You know, many people have an idea that, you know, God understands, and there's a lot of slack that God is cutting his children. But that's not the truth. People want to believe that. Many people don't want to be accountable for their actions. They want to ignore them and pretend like they haven't happened and like there's going to be no consequence for that. Well, the great consequence, I believe, at the bema seat is the lack of rewards. There will be some that will stand there and receive great rewards for their works and for their life they lived on earth, and we'll watch them as they receive those rewards. There will be others who will receive some rewards, and there will be others that may not receive any rewards. And that would be a terribly humbling time and a very sad time in that life of that individual. Now, I want to first of all point out that the reward is connected with the resurrection. When we talk about receiving the reward at the bema seat, it's connected to the resurrection. In Luke chapter 14, verse 14, it reads there, "And thou shalt be blessed, for they cannot recompense thee, for thou shalt be recompensed at the resurrection of the just." So this takes us back to the rapture, and it takes us back to the dead that were resurrected and taken off the earth and caught up together to be with the Lord forever in the air. That's talking about believers that are alive and snatched from the earth and from where they were living, wherever it was in the world, and caught up together to be with the Lord in the air. And that's when the rewards will be given. That's when the recompense will take place. You know, a lot of times people don't look at things in a proper view because they may not know the Word of God, or they may not know Lord Jesus Christ very well. They might be saved, but they don't understand Him. They don't comprehend the great love He has for the world and for mankind and for every human individual, and that they don't understand what dying for somebody else really means and what He suffered in doing that. And so there's a lot that don't understand that in the time of suffering that we have in this world, when we're serving Him and living for Him, and people don't like that, and maybe we go through trials and fires and many temptations that Satan might bring our way, and we struggle in our battle, a spiritual battle, and the faith to keep it, that's all going to be recompensed one day. There will be a reward in heaven before the Lord at the judgment seat of Christ. God has not ignored the things that His children have done. He's not ignoring their works. He's not ignoring their suffering, their pain. He's not ignoring their struggle. God knows exactly what's going on. And Jesus is there to help us through those events and these trials and the times that we have in our life. So we see, first of all, that the reward that will be given at the judgment seat of Christ is connected with the resurrection. But secondly, rewards are connected with the Lord's return also. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5, "Therefore judge nothing before the time until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Then shall every man have praise of God." This just goes on to what I was just saying. The Lord does not ignore our life, nor does He ignore the events that happen in our life. He's very well, has the knowledge and understanding of exactly what is taking place, and He's concerned with us. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." You know, Paul was writing, and he was excited about an event that was coming and going to happen at the time of the judgment seat of Christ, and he looked forward to that, to the crown that he had received, the crown of righteousness. But he said it's not just for him alone, but it's for all those that love His appearing and look forward to His appearing. We see in Revelation chapter 22 and verse 12, our Lord said, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." You know, God will reward us accordingly to our life and how we lived it. You know, this ought to be a motivation, I believe, to all believers in Christ. We ought to be motivated and understand that what we do is not in vain. What we do is not unseen. But what we are doing, and what I'm talking about, what we're doing for the Lord Jesus Christ and for His cause, and for lifting Him up and glorifying Him and building His church and reaching others for the kingdom of Christ, and the sacrifice they give for in this effort of building His kingdom on earth, and the struggles. And the Lord says that He will come quickly, and His reward is with Him, and He will give every man according as his work shall be. And so we see this morning in our own church today, we have many people that came early today, this morning, and they woke up early. They came, and one man will come and prepare all the vehicles, the buses and the vans that we run. He'll warm them and get them ready and pull them up for others, and others will be coming in to take their buses or their van and travel to some of the different outlying cities around here and some of the patches, and going about and bringing people to church. They're going out when the vehicles are cold. They come back several hours after church is over, and they go home and have their their afternoon meal and catch maybe a little bit of a nap. Then they turn around, they come back to the evening service. And if they're involved in a music program in the choir, they're here early again for that. You say, that's a lot of sacrifice. That's a lot of work. Yes, that is. But our Lord is worth that. Our Lord is worth every bit of energy that we put toward serving him and his cause. And it's not unseen. There are rewards waiting for the faithful. Now, this event that's happening here, we're talking about, this will take place in heaven while the day of the Antichrist runs its course on earth. He will have 7 years after the rapture. When the rapture comes, there will be a seven-year event called the tribulation period, and that's the time the Antichrist will have his day on earth. While that is happening on earth, while we are up in heaven with the Lord, we will be at the judgment seat of Christ. There the rewards will be handed out. Those events will be taking place with Christ in heaven. And there will be rejoicing, there will be praising, there will be tears of joy and thanksgiving, and how wonderful it will be for loved ones to reunite again in heaven together. People have lost family members, or mothers and fathers, and their sons and daughters and friends, and all together in Christ in heaven again one day. And what a wonderful time that will be. And what a sad time on earth will it be here. Now, the Bema, as I said, is for believers only. We notice in Romans chapter 14, where we started our lesson today, it said, for we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And then we look again in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, where it said, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This word we is referring only to believers. Now, the Bema does not determine whether one is saved or not. Salvation is settled in this life on earth. I talk to people, and I've heard it for many years now, decades now, and I felt the very same way. I thought, well, I guess we'll just find out when we get there. What I meant was, when I'm dead, I guess I'll find out if I'm going to be in heaven or hell. I don't know now. I don't have an answer for that. I didn't. In the religion I grew up in and was taught, I was not given a clear-cut understanding of salvation and how a person can receive that gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ. It was never spelled out, never explained to me. In fact, the scriptures were never opened to me to show me that. But a man's salvation is settled here on earth. It's not at the judgment seat of Christ. The judgment seat of Christ is solely for the rewards for the works that his children, his people have done in this world while they're here serving him. But salvation is settled here in this world first. And if you're listening to this broadcast today and you've never understood what it takes to be saved, you've never had anyone explain to you very clearly from the Word of God how you can be born again and have a home in heaven one day, then by all means, you need to come to church today. You need to come to the service. You need to let myself or one of our folks here at the church sit down and talk to you about your salvation and where you will spend eternity. We're for everybody. We're for all people getting saved. Jesus, in fact, said he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. We've taken that same point of view. We believe that everybody ought to have an opportunity in their life to hear a very clear presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we offer that to you today. And if any time you want to discuss this or talk to somebody, you can call us here at the church at 724-439-2519. You can give us a call here. And we'll get back to you, and we'll come to your home. We'll meet with you. We'll talk to you on the telephone, whatever the case is, and help you with that matter. But the purpose of the Bema judgment is not to punish believers for sins committed either before or after salvation. The scriptures are very clear that no child of God will have to answer for his sins after life. You know, some people believe, even after they got saved, that God's going to judge them for their sins. And unfortunately, it's preached in some pulpits because of a lack of understanding of God's love and his salvation. And they talk about how God's going to judge them one day and judge them in the future. But they've forgotten that Jesus, when he came and died on the cross, he died for all of our sins. Not just the ones past or just the ones in the future. If we put everything in proper perspective, Jesus came to this world and died on the cross 2,000 years ago. And the people living today on the world were not even born yet. They had not even committed their first sin as a human being yet in this world. And so all the sins that Jesus died for this generation, were all future tense. And so he paid for all of our sins as far as eternity is concerned. We'll never be judged on heaven and hell. We'll never be judged where we will go after our life is over if we have our faith and faith alone in Jesus Christ to be our Savior and call upon him. That we receive that gift of eternal life, and that matter is settled for all eternity, because what he promised to give us is everlasting life, eternal life, not temporary life. Not if some people will go about and begin to teach and preach that if you've sinned, you've lost your salvation, you need to get saved again. Well, then God is a liar. That must be what they're saying, because they're saying that man received was temporal life. It was based on their works. And that's a bit foolish to think about that, because we couldn't do anything to work our way into heaven. And so therefore, we can't do anything. We can't do any works to keep our salvation. That is done solely by Jesus Christ. And that's what his resurrection of the dead did. He secured our salvation by living again. You know, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 24 tell us, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Who his own self bare our sins. Jesus bore our sins on Calvary. He paid for those sins. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10, it says, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Now, that word bad means worthless. We've done some worthless things, and unfortunately, we don't consider what we're doing. Isaiah chapter 38 and verse 17 reminds us, behold, for peace I had great bitterness, but thou hast in love to my soul delivered it from the pit of corruption. Thou hast cast all my sins behind thy back. When Christ forgave us, those sins were cast behind the Father. And if the Father searched for them and looked, no matter how he would turn, they would always be behind him. He would never see them again. Isaiah 44, verse 22 tells us, I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I wonder who today is out there and you feel overwhelmed with the guilt of your sins. You feel that you've gone so far from God that he would not want you, that you can't get back to him, that you can't be forgiven. But this verse very clearly points out, they blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, as a cloud thy sins. And the Father is saying, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. I have redeemed thee. That's the whole thing. If you've been saved already and sin, you've fallen through that temptation and been taken away from your relationship with Christ, and you've gone to a world of darkness, a place you never thought you would end up again, and you look back to the light, you look back to Jesus Christ, and you say, how can I go back there? How can I face him once again? The Father's asking you to come back. He's calling for you to come back because your soul has been purchased at a very high price with the precious blood of his dear Son, Jesus Christ. And the Lord said, there's been a great price paid on your behalf, and I want you to come back. Don't let your failures, don't let your sins, don't let your guilt keep you from the Father. He's calling you back home. He wants you back home. He wants you near to him. No, I wonder how many people today are struggling so desperately, wanting back, but not sure they can come back. But the Father calls. He wants you back. He truly does. But there is a purpose also for the Bema seat. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, it reads, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In 1 Peter 4:10, it tells us, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. There's a purpose that the Bema offers us and shows us. And we understand that there's a requirement in stewards that a man be found faithful. Yeah, I don't believe that's a very difficult thing to achieve or have. I look in this world and I see dogs that could be faithful. I said to myself one day, if a dog can achieve that and be faithful to its owner, I think as a human being, I'm more superior than an animal is. I should have within me the ability to be faithful to Jesus Christ and faithful to the things that he has for me in my life. And so as a good steward in life, God wants us to be faithful. But also, every man hath received the gift, so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. You know what grace is? God's unmerited favor toward mankind. And God wants us to be a steward of that grace and offer the very same thing to others around us. Good stewards of the manifold grace of God, that we can share with others what Christ has done for us. You know, we may look into a world and say, or even in our church and say, that person doesn't deserve it. And you're probably right. They may not deserve forgiveness. They may not deserve kindness. They may not deserve certain things. But that's what God's grace is all about. To be able to reach out to somebody and say, they don't deserve my kindness. They don't deserve my help. They don't deserve these things. But as Christ, through his grace, offered me his love and his salvation and forgiveness, I am a steward of that very same grace, so therefore I must offer that to others around me. God wants us to be good stewards. You know, we're looking at the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ, but we're going to learn a lot of things in the process, in this journey here, and there's more information or area I want to cover with this. But these are some thoughts I want to leave with you today. And as we meet again next Sunday, we'll come back and continue on where we're at talking about this. And I really want to help people know the Bible. I really want people to get some understanding and to be able to bring across simply in uncomplicated terms that people might understand. You know, if you get the opportunity, you get the time, we sure would be glad to have you come join us here at Bible Baptist.